Today on Real Life Radio.
You as a believer, you are to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven when you die. Or when Christ comes back today, you're to know that. And you're to rejoice in that. But what about this book of life thing?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Now, before we get into today's message, I want to ask you what you think of when you hear the word miracle. It might seem unbelievable, but America's history is full of God-given miracles, and our current featured resource will tell you all about them. It's a great book. It's called Miracles in American History, 32 Amazing Stories of Answered Prayer, and it's by Susie Federer. Get your copy right now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Book of Philippians with a message titled, How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 1. Here now as we begin Chapter 4 with verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul writes his letter with a more fatherly approach. He prepares the church at Philippi for what's ahead as he comforts them with God's grace and peace. You see, we can't have joy without first having the Lord's grace and peace. Grace is unmerited favor from the Lord, while peace is the prosperity of the soul and quietness of mind. When we stand fast in the Lord and in His Word, we are sure to find rest. When our minds are stayed on Him, our focus is on His boundless love and His protection. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to tell us how to have the peace of God even when we've forgotten where we belong. If we have been born again of the Spirit and are trusting and obeying Christ, our names are now written in the Lamb's Book of Life with heaven as our forever home. Now with his message called, How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Look what he's saying here. You need to remember, you've been reconciled to God. That means that God has made up the division between you and God. Verse 19 says, that verse 18 goes on to say that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. These two women, just like you, by the Holy Spirit, have been given the ministry of reconciliation, meaning we put ourselves on the back burner. Listen, friends, listen. Keep your eyes on the verse still, but listen. As Christians, I'm to step back and not fight the fight for my interest, but I'm to fight the fight for the other person. This is what Christianity is. Beware of the part that's within us all to always have the last word in the argument. We always have to come out on top. That's carnality. Yield it to God. State the truth, state it in love, and leave it in the hands of God. Pray. God is for reconciliation. Verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 5, and that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses anymore, that is not keeping a record anymore of their sins. Remember, 1 Corinthians 13 says that love doesn't keep record, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What does that mean? That means that you and I have the word of God in us, and regarding our marriage or regarding our business dealings or regarding our community that we traffic in, God has gifted the Christian with the ability to put forth truth, to bring about reconciliation. That is the spirit in the heart of what the Bible says, Jesus says, is the ministry life of the peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemaker. Where does that come from? They now have peace with God themselves. And they turn around and they wind up having a ministry of getting people to make up. And it starts with them. It's a powerful thing. We are to be ministers like that. We are to get up from this church today and we are to clothe ourselves with this ministry that we all have of reconciliation. And I hope you understand that I say that based on biblical reconciliation. We have to be careful in this day and age because we think that unduly bestowed compromise is some virtue of God. It's not. We're talking about reconciliation and the things of the Christian's life and what honors God. If these women would have decided to honor the Lord and put the other one first, their names wouldn't have wound up in the Bible. But they were prominent women. We'll see in a moment. And this is a good practice for us. Look what he says. He uses the word implore, parakaleo. It's actually a word that's used of the Holy Spirit. Kaleos, to come along, is to comfort or to bring ease, and para is alongside. Come along the warring party. So listen, don't say anything right now, don't raise your hand, but do you have someone in the house of God that you are at odds with? The Bible says parakaleo to you. Go to them, get alongside them. In the ministry of reconciliation, put yourself on the back burner and get that relationship fixed. You want to know why? It's bigger than you and it's bigger than that person. It's all about Jesus. It's for him. He loves it. Do it for him. You may say, I'm not willing. We're Christians. You can say, Lord, I'm not willing. Make me willing. Do what he would have us to do. So the word parakaleo is to summon alongside or to come near to the other with the intent to comfort. And then the same mind, the word same mind, listen to this. The word same mind means to think the same thoughts about the issue. God doesn't make robots. He doesn't want robots. But regarding doctrinal things and Christian conduct, God says think the same thoughts. That word also means to think the same thoughts at the same time about the same thing. See, how do you do that? I believe it's impossible to do that unless we follow Jesus and have the mind of Christ. Think of it. Because when we're at a rift with someone, we are so justified in our position, aren't we? That's why we've taken the position. Listen, if you're all hot and bothered and you've got your position, you are fully committed to the fact that you're right and they're wrong. While they're across town with the exact same thoughts you have. They have the same thoughts, but they're not Christ's thoughts. You're thinking like the world. And the Bible is saying, forget your thoughts, think Christ's thoughts regarding this. That's how we think the same thought. That's why the Bible study and the daily Bible reading of the Word of God is so important, because it settles God's truth within us and that we become one that way. We think the same way. We answer the same way. We come to the same conclusion. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Many are broken in the body of Christ because they haven't done this. They've not prayed. They've not experienced the healing of God. Pride keeps us from making up. Years ago, I read this. My goodness, I don't know, decades ago now. Listen to this. It's painfully true. Most often, the person who cannot say they're sorry for what they've done holds their ground because they're anchored to pride. Pride will not let them say they're sorry. They'll send you chocolates. They'll mail you flowers, but they won't say sorry. And God never said send chocolates or mail flowers. Why? Listen. Because I know inevitably someone's going to say, I'm not going to give that bum the satisfaction of hearing me say I'm sorry. You have completely forgotten why God has called us to make up. It's to set you free. In fact, I'll prove it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Listen to this. Matthew 18, 15. These few verses are the least practiced verses in all of the Bible, I'm convinced. Everybody wants to quote them when it's to their favor, but I don't know if people obey it. Are you ready? Moreover, if your brother sins against you, have you ever had that happen? Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Don't Facebook it, don't tweet it, don't Instagram it. And don't gossip about it in a prayer meeting. Go to him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more. The implication is more spiritual than yourself. That by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. It doesn't mean you blab it to the church. It implies that you tell it to the church leadership. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. Isn't that strong, right? That's tremendous. Yikes. If he won't repent, don't even eat with the guy. But he's a brother. Yeah, but listen, if he won't make up, something's wrong. And God says, I'll take it from here. But here's how you're set free. When you see yourself having sinned against God and that Christ went to the cross to forgive you of your sins, If you really meditate on that fact, it's very hard for you to start pointing your finger at other people. When you realize that just Jack's sins alone crucified Christ, that's enough. So that if a brother sins against me, I'm to go to him privately and say, listen, Fred, that really hurt. I want to bring that to your attention. There's a rift between us. And listen, the moment you do that in true sincerity and obedience to the scripture, Fred might dig his heels in and throw you off his porch. I promise you, this supernatural reality, it's true every time. The moment you've obeyed Christ in that, the act of this sets you free. You now can walk away having walked in obedience. And when you go get a brother or a sister to go and to confront them a second time, it's not out of arrogance, it's out of brokenness for them. You love them. It's not like, well, I'll show you now. I'm going to go call. No. You don't delight in that.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Unity's to be maintained. It's to be worked on. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 14, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other, you see that? So that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. That's how these two ladies warring could have dramatically affected, even split the church. Verse 3 goes on to teach us this, that we've forgotten. We need to remember that we have the peace of God available, but we have forgotten when we are one, remembering that we are one among many in the body of Christ. He says, I urge you also, note this church, true companion. You can circle that. We have no idea who that is. Scholars do not know. Some say it's Epaphroditus himself, the one who's carrying the letter, but that doesn't make any sense because he's the one carrying the letter and it's in the book. Could it be somebody who's there? Most scholars guess that it's Lydia, a woman. And this is wise. If it's, we don't know, but listen to this. Lydia was the first convert in Acts chapter 16 in Philippi. Paul preached, Lydia was the first one saved. She was a pillar in that church. It's always good to do this, that we minister, understanding that we're one among many. Listen, it's great that if it is Lydia, that a woman who's godly deal with these two warring godly women. You should always have women minister to the women when it comes to a lot of stuff, if not everything. We just work different. Our brains, by design, it's just different. I will never meet with a woman alone unless it's the husband and the wife together. Why? Because I don't know what to do. Men, I think men ought to meet with men and women ought to meet with women. That's, we see that in the epistles. And then there are those times when you can have more of a group meeting where maybe Lisa and I will meet with a husband or a wife together, whatever it might be. Or we have our mentoring couples, our marriage mentoring couples. That's wise to do that. So we don't know for sure, but it is excellent that Paul is speaking about a third person now, whoever the true companion is. He says, help these women who labored with me. Notice, these ladies are not flakes. They labored with me in the gospel. I remember them from 12 years ago, he would say. They were amazing. And with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers. They worked hard. They served together. He's calling out to them. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, this is really great advice for all of us. This is great instruction. Romans 12, 18. Regarding this, we are one among many as believers. In Romans 12, 18, the Bible says, if it is possible, or as much as it is possible, as much as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Look at that verse. This is so practical. As Christians, have you noticed, as those of us in the family of God, this verse so much applies, because he's writing to the church at Rome, that personality-wise, some of us just, we just don't get along. It's just, I don't know what it is, but you know, it's just like, I don't know what it is. And it's, now you have to be careful because that doesn't mean you avoid the person exactly, because sometimes God sends us, what is it? God sends into our lives that irregular person for us. They're actually a ministry for us to make us more like Jesus. Say, Pastor, Jack, I don't like you. Doesn't matter. You have to love me. God didn't say you have to like Jack. The Bible says you have to love me. As much as it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Not only the men and women out in the world, but in the body of Christ. There are some people that you may have history, you may have past. What does it mean? It doesn't mean you say, hey, how you doing? It's too raw. Are you with me? It means either you see them and you nod, just this. Hey, that's the fulfillment of that verse. It could be as much as, hi. But it's so tender, and until it's better, you just simply acknowledge them. But you don't say, hey, how's it going? Hey, what's new in your life? Sometimes it's so tender, you can't do that. That's what Paul is addressing in Romans 12. That's wise. That's the body. Warts and all. And it's going to be like that at times until we get to heaven, until all that stuff gets blown off at our death or at the trumpet blast. It's the way it is. The third and final thing, and we'll end with this, is in verses 3-4, is that we have forgotten where we belong. We have forgotten often where we belong. And that is, we belong to heaven and in heaven above. Look at this. First of all, we realize that we're secured by God. Look at this. Verse 3, he's talking to those whose names are in the book of life. I am impressed by Paul's words. Wait a minute, church, listen. Look at it. He's writing to them. Let's dissect this. He writes to them and he says, whose names are in the book of life. I want to know how he knew this. Do you look at the people around you? How do you know their names are written in the book of life? I mean, listen, I can tell you this. My wife's name is written in the book of life. I've seen Lisa in almost 39 years of marriage go through thick and thin, and I've seen her all these years since she was 18 years old reading her Bible. The week I met her, we went to church. I saw she's been with Jesus through thick and thin. Are you with me? I know that my name is written in the book of life. But I still pray for the salvation of all the rest of you. I'm not offending you, I'm just telling you. We've not gone through the mileage like my wife and I have. I pray for my kids that they would continue on. I know they've heard the gospel. I know that they responded to Christ, but I pray for them. Wars, battles, Bible, living through and through, weathered, tells you whose names are in the book of life. Paul was so confident. He's removed from them 12 years, and he still makes that confession. I find that amazing, especially in this day and age. There's people just wigging out. False doctrine, strange things, people giving up. And remember, he's speaking this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Can you be so bold as to know this? Apparently, yes. Now, as an individual believer, you've heard me say this before. I'll always believe this because it's what the Bible teaches. You as a believer, you are to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven when you die. Or when Christ comes back today, you're to know that. And you're to rejoice in that. But what about this book of life thing? Very quickly, but carefully, Psalm 69, listen. Psalm 69, verse 27. David says, add iniquity to their iniquity. David's praying for his enemies. This is how he prayed for his enemies. Lord, they're sinners. Make them bigger sinners. And let them not come into your righteousness or your righteousness. Yikes. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. You didn't want to be on the bad side of David. Church, verse 28 says, blot their names or blot their identity out of the book of the living. So my question to you is, David is still speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Can your name be blotted out of the book of the living or the book of life? I'm just asking. Don't answer. I'm just asking. Number two, Exodus 32, 32. Exodus 32, 32. Moses says, yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, he's praying, he's interceding for the Jews, for Israel in the wilderness, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written. Now, I would never pray that. I love you, but I only love you to a point. Moses says, God, if you don't forgive Israel's sins, then remove my name out of your book. Yikes. Don't answer it. My question is there a book there that there's the possibility of your name being removed out of? It seems to be that that book would be called the Book of Life, but let's keep going. Revelation 3:5. Revelation 3:5. Jesus says, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Number one, truly, surely your name is secured in the book of life if you're trusting and obeying Christ. Watch this. And truly from that verse, names can be blotted out or else Jesus wouldn't have said it. Are you with me? This is fundamental freshman logic course right here. Now, you may think I'm going down a path, but you might be mistaken. Hang on. Revelation 20, verse 15. "And if anyone not found written in the book of life," not found written in the book of life, "was cast into the lake of fire," meaning their names are not there. So certainly Revelation 20, 15, their names must have been blotted out, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. Revelation 21, 27. "But there shall by no means enter into anything that is heaven that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Okay, now this is interesting. What's happening? Well, it appears again, Revelation 13:8. "All who dwell on the earth will worship him," that is the Antichrist, "during the 7-year tribulation period, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." What's being said here? Simply this. Watch this. It appears from the passages I just read you that every human being born into this world, some scholars will push it to the point, which is not a bad idea, push it to the point of accountability. They've been born into this world. They've reached the age of accountability, meaning they're not covered by their parents' faith. Now they're old enough to make their own decision. Listen, it appears that everyone given life's name is recorded in the book of life. But those who accept Christ as Lord and Savior, their names are written in this book called the Lamb's Book of Life. On the day of judgment, there'll be two groups. Number one, there'll be those who will stand before God, Revelation 20, verse 11, and the books will be opened, and they'll be judged out of the books according to the things that they've done. Everyone who stands there, their names are not found in the book of life. When they're judged, they will be taken away to hell because their names are not written in the book of life. It's blotted out. Those others, you and I, will be at the judgment seat of Christ. Our names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. Here it is simply. Take your computer in your mind. You have your name or a list of names on a spreadsheet, the book of life. When you accept Christ, you highlight your name and you hit copy. You go over to the Lamb's book of life and you hit paste. Your name, once your name is in the Lamb's book of life, it can never be blotted out of the book of life. But if you don't have your name in the Lamb's book of life, your name most certainly will be blotted out of the book of life. There clearly are two books. One is under the jurisdiction of the Lamb, and one is under the jurisdiction of Almighty God, the Father. If your name is not written down in the Lamb's book of life, you are in a heap of trouble. You need to accept Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior. And what that means is you need to repent of your sin. And you need to tell God, you need to agree with God that your sins, like Jack's, put him on the cross. Your sins, my sins, put him on the cross. You're guilty. Look, I'm guilty, but I'm now forgiven because Christ forgave me. And when he does that, he changes your life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians, a letter from the Apostle Paul who surrendered his life to Christ for the sake of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, it's God's grace that allows us to come to Him. It's not through our own efforts, but through faith that we can receive eternal life in heaven. Most of us as Christians already know this, but still, we often try to earn our salvation through our works, or we forget what it truly means to know God and His plan for our lives. That's why Pastor Jack has a tab at his website called Know God at jackhibbs.com. The Know God tab provides specific information on what your commitment to Christ is all about. The Know God tab is also a great witnessing tool for sharing Christ with others. It tells you exactly what happened when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and how to move forward in your life as a believer. And if you've recently made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, we'd like to hear about it. Click on the tab called Connect at jackhibbs.com. And be sure to let us know of your step of faith so we can praise the Lord along with you. That's the Connect tab at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.